Hi, this is Holistic Matters Podcast. We're here today talking with three-time world record holder and adventurer, Colin O'Brady. Hi, Colin. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. It's great to be here.
So you're an awesome guy. So, you know, you've done more things than people would dream about or even know how to accomplish and set three world records along the way. And so probably the most impressive to me is your Grand Slam, Seven Peaks around the world. But yep. But tell us a little bit about like your three world record holders and which one was the most challenging.
Yeah, so in 2016, I embarked on a world record attempt called the Explorer's Grand Slam, sort of climbed the tallest mountain on each of the seven summits, collectively known as the Seven Summits, the tallest mountain on each of the seven continents, as well as completing expeditions to both the North and South Pole. At the time, fewer than 50 people in history had ever completed the Grand Slam, and I was aiming to be the fastest, so climbing them all consecutively, no rest in between, just summiting one peak, flying to the next. So you've got Mount Everest in there, you know, Kilimanjaro, Denali, etc., North Pole, South Pole, and I was able to do that all in 139 days. And all the while doing that wasn't my aim, but I actually coincidentally set a second world record, which was just the Seven Summits record itself. Even though I went to the poles, I still summited those faster than anyone. So ended up with two world records from that, and that was in 2016. And then now most recently, just finished up a week ago actually, a third world record, another mountaineering challenge that was to climb the tallest mountain in each of the 50 states, in the 50 U.S. states, faster than anyone's ever done that. The record before was 41 days, and I managed to do all 50 in just 21 days, so knocking 20 days off the record.
So that's awesome. You are an inspiration to a variety of people, whether they're, you know, young kids trying to be fit and stay healthy, to families trying to change their lifestyles, to business people to understand the concept of being tenacious and stick-to-itiveness to get things done. But what did you get your interest in becoming an adventurer of all things?
You know, I grew up in Portland, Oregon, so I kind of grew up in a very community that embraces the outdoors, certainly. You know, my earliest memories as a kid, you know, my family didn't have a lot of money when I was a kid. But of course, you live in Portland, Oregon, you drive 15 minutes in any direction, you're in a, you know, beautiful place, either a, you know, a lake or a trailhead or a mountain or something like that. So my dad was an Eagle Scout. So always just would take us, you know, out into the outdoors. So I always loved that. And kind of, you know, when I was a kid, started dreaming about, well, one day maybe I could climb Mount Everest or the bigger mountains or things like that. But, you know, I was a lifelong athlete, a swimmer and soccer player as a kid, went on to be a collegiate swimmer at Yale. So, you know, sports was a big part of my life. And then, you know, further down the road, you know, got back into this. It's sort of a longer story by way of professional triathlon and being burned in a fire and told I would never walk again, et cetera. We can get more into that if you want. But yeah, it's been amazing to kind of have the focus in the outdoors, like you said, not only to complete these records for my own sort of personal, you know, desires and goals, but really more so to build these projects around that really inspire other people. You know, I have a nonprofit that's focused on working with public school kids to get them to get outside, move their bodies, live active and healthy lives, and really just inspire other people to do the same.
Right. So when you look at these adventures that you start, the starting point is, I got to prepare for this. How do you pursue that? I mean, do you have checklists that you create? And what are the key components that you're always thinking about in that preparation to, you know, achieve greatness?
You know, for me, it definitely all starts with one big goal, kind of a big, you know, audacious goal. You know, oftentimes I don't necessarily know how I'm going to get there. You know, when I was burning a fire in Thailand, I looked at my mom in the Thai hospital and the doctor said you would never walk again normally. And I said, you know, one day I'm going to complete a triathlon, which seemed crazy. You know, how about one day I'm going to take one step or one day I'm going to walk across the street, you know, but kind of set this massive goal. And it's the same with these adventure goals. You know, in 2015, when Jenna, my fiance, and I were dreaming up this world record project together, I said, you know, I want to see if I can set the world record for completing the Explorer's Grand Slam. Now, I'd never climbed the Himalayas before, so Everest seemed like an audacious goal. You know, I'd climbed some mountains before, but we didn't have the money or funding or wherewithal necessary to pull this global media campaign off. We said, hey, let's do this. But then, after setting that massive goal, I go back into what you said is the preparation mode. As I say, oh, well, what can I do tomorrow? What's the first step? What are some small incremental goals along the way? And there's usually 1,000 incremental goals between setting that massive, audacious goal and achieving it. And that, you know, that's not only figuring out the physical preparation, the mental preparation, you know, whether that's, you know, my nutrition, my health, my coaches, bringing in experts of all sorts to consult on, and kind of building it out from there. So there's a lot of moving parts to make these all things happen. But it starts with that big goal, I always say, but then it breaks down into these smaller, you know, bite-sized chunks, and ultimately those smaller goals lead up to the big goal eventually.
So is there a learning from your adventures and preparation that we might be able to give as insights into kids who want to be healthy and as fit as they can be?
You know, for me, you know, one of the things that I like to ask people, you know, actually Jenna and I kind of came up with this campaign when I was actually climbing Mount Everest a few years ago. Via social media, we were connecting to classrooms all across the country. You know, ultimately hundreds of thousands of kids were tuning in various ways, which was incredible. And, you know, Jenna came up with this idea, let's ask kids, what's their Everest? You know, Colin's climbing Mount Everest right now. But ask kids, you know, what is your Everest? And using that kind of as a metaphor of saying, what's a big goal? What's a big, you know, scary, dare to dream type of goal that you have in your life? And all of a sudden, kids grasped that immediately. They said, you know, my Mount Everest is to be the first person in my family to graduate from college. Or my Mount Everest is to, you know, one day make sure the snow leopards are off the endangered species. You know, whatever it is kids are dreaming about, we had incredible responses to this. And, you know, those spanned, you know, athletic goals to academic goals to personal goals with home and family and relationships. I mean, they really had a lot of different categories, music, entrepreneurship, whatever. And one thing that what I realized is, what's the common denominator here to having that success? I said, you know what, no matter what any of those goals were, and science backs this up certainly in an academic sense, if you have academic goals, actually having health and wellness as the bedrock of that success is important. That means getting a proper amount of sleep. That means fueling yourself properly, eating nutritious foods and healthy meals. We know that that correlates to success really across the board. And so that's why, for me, the health and wellness component is so important to laying the sort of fertile ground for success across the board. You know, for me, I am an athlete, so of course health and, you know, being strong and vital equates to my own personal goals. But even if you're not actually trying to climb a physical mountain, whatever that is you're reaching for, having that, you know, sort of bedrock of health and wellness is huge. And I think getting kids started on that early is important. You know, I mentioned that I've, you know, my father is an organic farmer. My mother and stepfather started a chain of natural foods grocery stores. And even when I was a kid, I rebelled a little bit against that. You know, I was kind of like, oh God, you know, organic produce again, or, oh, you know, healthy snacks, you know, these other kids at school have Lunchables. I'd rather have that, or something like that. But it's funny, of course, when I got out into the world on my own, you know, as a young adult, I realized how valuable of a lesson that was they instilled in me for a young age. And so I think if we can get, you know, young people to at least even taste that, you know, or embrace that a little bit in their early childhood, the odds of them adapting that in the long run are so much more likely.
Right. So, you know, what you describe is like, what's your Everest, right? I mean, it's goal setting, right? And that's pretty impressive, because the other part of setting goals is sometimes it's difficult to achieve the goals. And one of the things that's impressed me as I've had a chance to talk to you and learn more about your adventures is your ability to be resilient, you know, to not let things stop you, to find ways to get around them. And you've got some great stories and examples, but can you share with us some of that insight of how do you stay resilient, and how do you adapt to things when things look bleak to find a way through it or around it?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I've learned, and hopefully this isn't too grim, but, you know, tragedy and setbacks are part of life. They're a part of any sort of process. Any sort of audacious goal is going to inevitably encounter setbacks. So the first thing in having that resilience is actually expecting things to not always go perfectly well. I think oftentimes people set a big goal and they immediately set a setback comes away and they go, oh wow, now this path has gotten too hard, this is too challenging. So by anticipating that, by actually saying, oh, I know this is going to happen, you're not so surprised by it when it happens. So to me, that's one first step. And then the second step is, you know, I think maybe I've come to this from my, you know, meditation practice over the years or whatnot, but a mantra of mine is, this too will change. And it's the idea of sort of just a general impermanence to life. But I equate that to, you know, you're on a long hike or something like that and your feet hurt and you're tired. Sometimes it's easy to kind of wind yourself in your head and be like, oh my God, I hate this. This is terrible. This is the worst thing ever and whatever. You go, you know, I'm tired right now, but like, you know, an hour from now, I'm going to be back at the car and I'm going to be sleeping in my bed tonight. And like, this too will change. And so even, you know, when I encounter setbacks, whatever those goals may be, in those darker moments, I always remind myself that there's a cycle to it. Like, this is challenging, but if I keep pushing forwards and problem solve this, this too will change. And I also remind myself that when I'm having the high of highs, I say, let's enjoy this right now, but let's also remember I'm not going to stand on this summit forever as well. This too will change. And kind of that impermanence allows me leeway to make a few mistakes, know that setbacks are going to be encountered, but to keep kind of pushing, you know, keep taking steps forward and making that progress ultimately to get that goal.
So I'm curious, you know, years ago I had the chance to climb Mount Kilimanjaro, but I did that with my daughter.
Yeah.
And so, you know, during the most tiring times, the most challenging times, I could turn to somebody and I would have someone to talk to or joke, you know, or yell at, you know. But a lot of your adventures are almost solo. I mean, what do you do by yourself in the most difficult challenges?
You know, I am alone and I'm not alone at the same time. There's certainly, you know, these projects that I've completed, you know, with the world records and whatnot, I've been the only one climbing all the mountains and whatnot, but there is a large team around me. And I mentioned that sort of What's Your Everest campaign. Actually, when I, you know, was on Everest, it was eight of nine expeditions to complete that World Explorers Grand Slam world record. And my first attempt on Everest, I got up to 26,000 feet. I was in the death zone, as they call it, up, you know, where you're trying to push for the summit, and a huge storm blew in. And I ended up having one of the scariest nights of my life in a tent in the death zone. And what I realized the next morning was there was no chance where I could go for the summit. I actually had to climb back down the mountain. And I was in some ways so close to my goal, but it looked, you know, externally like, okay, well, he tried and it's over. And again, I was alone. I mean, I wasn't the only person on the mountain, but there was, you know, no close friends or family there on the mountain with me. But a couple of things. One is, you know, that What's Your Everest campaign of other people, other kids, you know, saying, hey, Colin, you're inspiring me and I want to do this in my life. It gave me a larger purpose. And so attaching these goals to this larger purpose makes me feel much less alone. You know, I say this before, my goal in that project was to inspire a bunch of kids around health, wellness, and goal setting. But at the end of the day, they're the ones who inspired me to keep going when the time was tough. If I had truly been alone or in a vacuum, like you said, it would be easy to be like, oh, you know what? Like, this is getting hard. I tried, didn't quite make it, whatever. Right. But there's accountability to something greater than myself that it keeps me, you know, fueled to keep pushing.
So for the kids that are sitting on the couch playing Fortnite, how do you suggest that they might think about spending a little bit more time outside?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think that it's, you know, I think we all have a responsibility in there. You know, one of the things I realized when it came to inspiring kids is I love working with kids directly. I love, you know, done a ton of stuff in public schools, talking to kids, you know, directly, and I absolutely love that. But what I realized is ultimately to inspire kids in the next generation, what you need is you need buy-in from all the other stakeholders, right? You need buy-in from teachers, you need buy-in from parents, you need buy-in, you know, from people in the community, etc. And so, you know, as I may say something to the kid, he might brush me off, always, you know, keyed into Fortnite and, you know, that whole world. Is to not necessarily, you know, I think habits change incrementally. So I think pulling the plug on that or vilifying technology would be crazy. In fact, I was able to share my story across, you know,